it's that time of the month again on KQSS, the time for the community meetings, and we have District 2 Supervisor Tim Humphrey with us. How are you doing, Tim?
I'm well, Raleigh. How are you?
All right. Good to see you. And so what's the latest?
Well, the latest is this weather is beautiful, but it's too beautiful for this time of year. Boy, I tell you what, you look up at the Pinales and there's no snow on it, there's no rain in the forecast, or hasn't been any rain in the forecast, and it's just going to be really, really tough if we don't get some moisture. But other than that, I'm like everybody else. I'm enjoying the weather. I'm getting behind on all my indoor projects because I want to be outside.
I know, because we can't believe it'll last. Just like every day you go outside, you don't need a jacket. It's lovely, but you're right. When it was cloudy earlier today, I thought, well, maybe rain. And John said, not a chance.
Yeah. So,
but interestingly, apart from that, I think the big hoopla has been what happened last week with Highway 60 being closed for four solid days.
Yeah, I hadn't got with George on that because I've been really busy with my stuff. But I think what happened is that, you know, when they did an explosion, it just kind of hit a soft spot and it just kept coming. You didn't blow it up, and whatever blew up, you know, you cleaned that mess up, because I think they cleaned it up and cleaned it up and cleaned it up and cleaned it up from what I understand.
Well, there's a video. In fact, we put it on the KQSS Facebook page.
Yeah.
And there is that video that shows it. And yes, they hit a sandy spot. And of course, the question is, and that's what they were worried about, I guess, for 4 days, is how much more of it will fall after they clean it up. And so I guess Thursday afternoon they felt it was in good enough shape to let people pass, which people have been. So now tomorrow through Thursday, we've got that weird thing where there's closures at two ends of it.
Right.
I don't know what they're doing at the Queen Creek Bridge, beautifying it or something, and that's closed. And then by Superior, the two spots there are closed. So between 9 and 2, if all things go well, we're out of luck Tuesday through Thursday.
Between 2 and 10?
9 and 2.
I mean,
2.
Between 9 and 2?
9 and 2, unless something goes wrong. You know,
right.
Obviously,
yeah,
right.
It will be closed.
Right.
Yeah, but then it'll open up before and after.
We hope.
Yeah, well.
Before,
yeah.
Certainly, but after. You know, because obviously safety's paramount, and I get that. But
sure.
Boy, did we hear a lot. And that's one good thing about KQSS is the minute it was open, we had it on the air. But the calls we got were just enormous from people who were saying, I can't go anywhere.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of like the Renaissance, the same thing. Imagine the dynamite and the Renaissance.
Right.
You know, you just will stay away from Globe unless you're coming from the north.
Right. That Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for the Renaissance is just abysmal.
And then close Tuesday through Thursday for the blasting.
Correct.
Yeah, well, if you need anything at Costco, you better go get it.
Now.
Get it now. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, no, things have been good. They've been busy. I've attended 3 agenda meetings and 1 work session. Attended a team meeting with the Director of Public Works and Engineering and those kind and I meet with them every month on projects that we're working on in District 2 and projects that we want to work on in District 2. And then I have another meeting every month where I meet with department heads and the county manager on, you know, projects that are going on in District 2 and, you know, kind of countywide, but mostly District 2. So we meet with finance, the deputy county manager, the county manager, and facilities. And so those are good meetings. And then I had a meeting here just recently with the road department staff and county manager. And people from the shop, because what I did is last month on the 14th, I was in Tonneau Basin Yard at 6 o'clock in the morning, and they're doing some work down in Gaisela where they're surfacing roads and stuff. And so I rode with the truck drivers and the equipment operators and just kind of looked at that end of what's going on. You know, county is. Mm-hmm. As a supervisor, I don't sit in an office well. And so, you know, how else do you know what's going on with your equipment
Absolutely.
In the roads other than just go because being in the construction company, I visited all my jobs every day. And so this is no different. And then on the 15th, I was in the Globe Yard. And then again on the 25th, I was in the Road Yard. And so it was neat. So I had a meeting with the shop foreman and the county manager and, you know, things of that nature. So we could discuss, you know, our equipment and things of that nature, kind of where we're going, what we're looking at over the next 4 years now that I got reelected. And is there anything in that part of county management that we, you know, we need to work on or look at, or equipment, you know, what do we need to look at maybe, you know, where we're at with it, how we able to operate with what we have. So it was kind of one of those. So that was real interesting. I enjoyed that part of it.
Anything to report from those meetings? That's a lot of meetings.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts with Gila County.
Yes, there are.
There's an awful lot of moving parts. But, you know, what I appreciate is with that many moving parts from, you know, the county manager, how would he ever know what our dump, you know, what the age of our dump trucks or what's going on with, you know, like our fleet, you know, what are we looking at replacement? What are we looking at the majority of the mileage on some of our vehicles? You know, and are they doing the job? Could we use better, different equipment to do a better job? Like, you know, a roller behind the blade. So when we blade a road, it can compact it as well as blade it, you know, things of that nature. So anyway, you know, they're good meetings because sometimes the left hand isn't fully aware of what the right hand's doing. And, you know, that's nobody's fault. But when you have 600 employees and go in 600 different directions, you know, and me, like I say, as supervisor, I've been here 8 years and there's still parts of the county that I haven't been able to, you know, get in much and see of what's going on with the working parts because I'm in agenda meetings and planning meetings. But it helps me to go with the road yard and with things of that nature to see what's going on in different parts of the county and to share it. And so, yeah, so they're good meetings. And like I say, and you know, the county manager, my hat's off to him because he comes to a lot of those meetings because he is the manager. I mean,
right,
I'm just one wheel of a tripod, you know, and I enjoy working with the other supervisors. But, you know, they every day, you know, go to make things happen is the county manager. So
that's the beauty of that department head meeting you set up. At least everybody gets to be on the same page once a month.
Or at least knows what we're trying to accomplish. And if it's okay, projects that we need funding for, right. What do we need to do? Where do we need to go to move that? Do we need to get a hold of our state legislatures? Do we need to look at grants? Do we, you know, what do we need to do to accomplish the things we need to accomplish? Like Russell Road is something we've been working on for a long time. And, you know, by getting everybody kind of working in the same direction, you know, we got funding for design, and so it's in design now.
Good.
And then once we get it designed, then we can go forward with, you know, reaching out for funding for the project. And and you know, when you work with the federal government, that's all part of it. They said, okay, we're going to give you money for a grant funding for engineering on the deal that once you get that engineered, then you'll put in for a second grant for the work. And it takes a while, it takes time, but they're the ones with the purse strings. And if they want it engineered before they give you money to let you, you know, then okay, we will do that. And it takes time, patience, and perseverance. But yeah, those kind of meetings work out well because finance is sitting at the table. You know, I'm sitting at the table, county manager, deputy county manager, you know, we've got everybody sitting at the table. So everybody's aware of what's going on. And so I find it helpful for me to work with the public too, because like my public meetings, Roosevelt today, you know, we can share information on what's going on and what's happening in different departments. Things of that nature. So yeah, it's been a lot of meetings to create more meetings, but how does everybody get on the same page unless you kind of get in front of everybody and kind of talk about things like that. But anyway, I had a Tonto Basin meeting on the 4th, had a Roosevelt meeting today at 1, and now I'm on the radio and the people are calling in or not calling in. Maybe they need the number.
Yes, Holly. Maybe they do. 888-876-5593. That's 888-ROLLYE. 5593. Operators are standing by. Okay, John is sitting, but he'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, because and you know, if you've got something, please call in and let me know. And
absolutely.
If you're shy, you can call me at any time and we can set up a meeting, or I can come and look at what your issue is. And you know, then we're back at working on the RV zoning ordinance. It's something that we're working on before, and in my meetings I was getting some public input, and then all of a sudden the short-term rentals, the Airbnbs, that got to be a real hot potato in at least northern Gila County.
Yes, there are areas, so, as you know, they're like 90%.
Yeah.
Now, so what was the, I know there was the big dissension when we talked about that last month. Has there been any conclusion on short-term rental regulations?
There has.
And, what do we know?
And I'll get to it. I'm going to go through the other ordinance first. And so now that we've kind of got an ordinance with the short-term ordinances, now we're getting back and talking with staff and working with our meetings and things. They're going to come back before the board. And what they're doing is they've got funding and stuff. And so we are looking at perhaps maybe subcontracting out, working on a zoning ordinance for RVs.
How do you subcontract that out? Isn't it just paperwork?
Well, yeah, but when all of your engineers and all of your staff is currently working on different ordinances and have worked through the short-term rental ordinance, sometimes you just run out of time. Okay. And you need to multiply yourself, and sometimes the only way you can do that is to bring in other bodies with guidance on what you're wanting to do.
Right, and of course the supervisors, you and the other two supervisors, have to pass it, so it's not
a final
thing. But what are do we have the broad plans? What are we looking for on that ordinance?
Not a whole lot. You know, there's just been a lot of people, especially, you know, in recreational areas, people buy lots and they'll pull in a fifth wheel.
Yes.
And things of that nature. And so we're working on ordinances for things like that. Like on some of your RVs and stuff, it says not for full-time living, you know, so we can't go against the manufacturer of it. You know, so where are we at with things like that?
Okay.
And in my opinion, if someone has a fifth wheel and they live in Oregon and they want to spend 6 months of their life at Roosevelt and they bought a lot there, I think with certain boundaries, I would think that would be okay. It's not like you have 10 fifth wheels on one hookup. So then you get into septic tanks and, you know, and to me, a septic tank should be just like a house. You're allowed so many fixtures for a certain size septic tank. And then we get into people that are living there in a $300,000 home say, well, you know, the fifth wheel is not paying the same taxes. They're not paying any taxes, you know, and here I am, you know, with my house and I'm paying property taxes and they're paying property on the taxes. And so, okay, is it fair or are we going to work something in that? Sure, you can get a permit for like 6 months because you can't live in it full time. But okay, so if you get a permit for 6 months and got to renew it every 6 months, then we're not given permission to live in it full time. But then in that as well, what is there going to be, you know, property taxes involved with that permit? And, you know, what's required as far as storage? And, you know, I mean, so there are a lot of doors to open. And one of my big deals is when we do this, whomever we hire, and I brought it up at a lot of my public meetings and on the radio, is I want as much public input as we can get.
Right.
I want them to talk to the people that live in the $350,000
right.
home next to the one in the fifth wheel.
Right.
I want them to talk to the people in the fifth wheel, and I want the neighbors to give their input, you know, because some of them say, well, my neighborhood and this and that, and it's like, well, yeah, but, you know, I mean, does everybody have the right to own property? Yeah, they do.
Well, and then that gets into zoning, as you know, and all that, which is part of what you're talking about here.
Sure.
I think one of the things that would probably come up for the $300,000 house owner, if he's living next to an RV that has 6 months occupancy, I would assume what he's going to be concerned about is, in the 6 months where there's no occupancy, what are the requirements that the yard is kept up, that there, that's not
unsightly?
Oh, yeah,
unsightly. No, but like I say, yeah. all that's in there.
Right, gotta
and,
be.
And it's a six-month permit. I mean, they can
right.
live there. They can renew it every 6 months. Do you see what I'm
right,
saying?
Yes, I do.
But they're not being able,
but
it's not a full-time residence.
Right, but if they
so
don't, they're still on the hook for
sure.
maintaining that property.
Yes, but like I say, without ordinances, Raleigh, you
got to do it.
You can't tell anybody
that's
what they
exactly
can and can't
right.
do. And so, yeah, okay, more government ruling. I hate it. Believe me, I do.
No, there has, there has
but we're
to be.
Forced into it because of these situations, like ordinances for short-term rentals.
Right.
It was pushed to the point that somebody had to do or say something because
right.
it was getting out of hand. But anyway, so that's something that we're working on with RV ordinances, because a lot of Gila County is recreational areas.
Yeah.
People say it's my home, it's not a recreational area. Well, it kind of is. When people are visiting your area for recreation,
right, of
it's
course
a recreational
it is.
Area.
And the idea of government intrusion, if you will, that is much preferable than mandating that everything be in an HOA.
HOA or
yeah,
things
which,
of that nature.
Which can be
yeah.
just an absolute disaster. So since,
sure.
fortunately, we're largely
sure.
HOA-free here,
sure.
there have got to be ordinances.
Right. And so there again, I was elected by the public, I work for the public, and I want as much public input
yes.
on these ordinances as we can. And even with the short-term rental ordinances, you know, we had our staff work up an ordinance, and we did a lot of research and looking into it. And the supervisors did pass an ordinance, because, you know, you can always adjust an ordinance,
sure.
but you gotta start somewhere. And we did start somewhere, and there was a lot of kickback and things of a few things that they felt unfair that we should change. So we re-looked at those. And so the ordinance that we passed, it has never been enforced
okay.
because of the changes that we needed or felt we wanted to make to it. And I can't speak for all the supervisors, but anyway, that's why they weren't ever enforced. But now they worked with a group, and that helped too, because a group of people that had short-term rentals, you know, they formed an organization,
of course.
So to speak. And so we met real closely with that organization to rewrite and to make adjustments to the ordinance that we had passed earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's going to be before the Board of Supervisors here pretty quick. It may even be our next Board of Supervisors, not tomorrow,
sure.
but a week from tomorrow.
Right. So.
But anyway, so.
What are the broad strokes? What are the provisions in this ordinance?
I don't have them in
okay.
front of me.
Okay.
And it's like all ordinances. It includes everything from A to Z, so
yeah. But I'd be curious about the big items and the items that were in contest.
We're going off memory here, and after four, this is my fourth meeting.
Yeah,
today,
right, exactly.
My memory is scattered.
Sure, sure.
But I think one of the big deals was background checks.
Right.
And another one was occupancy loads. You know, 25 people in one house type deal.
Right. So on that background
things of
check.
That nature. And I think another one was, let me see. Respond time to a complaint.
Uh-huh.
And so That's about all I can pull out of my memory. No, that's good.
Well, I'm
memory bank off I
know,
the cuff.
Well, I know they were upset about background checks because they thought that what was being asked is too invasive. So how was that modified?
You know, I believe that most of the companies that advertise for Airbnbs, I think they do or require a background check, perhaps. So it was almost...
Well, they require a driver's license for sure.
Yeah.
But not
so
much
it,
else.
Well, I don't know. But from what it was almost like a double dipping deal, you know.
Okay.
Because I think the advertisement companies had something to do with that.
Okay, but so then
there again, we're off of memory. You know, if you want more information, I can bring some information
next time.
Month,
let's look at that.
But like I say, off the cuff, my fourth meeting of the day, something that we went over a long time ago, and I'll get to review it here shortly
because
it's becoming before the Board of Supervisors,
right, exactly,
and they're looking to maybe start enforcing it in about April of 2025.
Good.
So, yeah. So, more of that information will be back in front of me here recently.
Okay.
But, you know, like I say, with a lot of the meetings and things that I get involved with, I try not to open anything that's more than 3 or 4 days away.
Yeah, right.
Because sometimes it changes.
Right.
But anyway, yeah. So anyway, those are a couple ordinances that we're working on. And that's one of the things that I really was looking forward to and wanted to do when I was elected supervisor. There's a lot of our ordinances were written many, many years ago.
Right.
And so they need to be reopened because our world today is different than it was 20 years
ago.
It's different today than it was 5 years ago.
Absolutely.
Really. But we're not changing anything that happened 5 years ago, but things that happened 40 years ago, they need a tune-up.
Agreed.
And then like, you know, short-term rentals. Who would have ever thought you needed a short-term rental ordinance, you know?
Oh, you do.
And then animals, you know, I mean, feeding animals and turning elk into predators and instead of prey, you know, I mean, when they're beating up people in their backyards, you have to do something. So, like I say, it's a constant changing world. So these ordinance things have become a big part of actually how the county operates. Because if you don't have an ordinance of something, or if it doesn't specify something, then you have difficulty enforcing things.
You're 100% right.
So anyway, we're trying to make it as fair as we can, or I'm trying to make it as fair as I can and as understanding as I can. So when the ordinance is written, it's not vague to the point.
Right.
It can be interpreted in 3 or 4 different ways. It's written to where, okay, you read it and understand the same thing pretty much of when I read it, I understand. So those are things that we're working on here, and so that's a good thing. And you know, going forward, our fairgrounds, that's another pet peeve of mine. I would like to do so much more out there, and we're working on it. But as I say, when we started doing things like the second arena, so we could have like, you know, high school rodeo finals and things of this nature, and trying to do more activities out there and things, our electrical was outdated.
Right.
So anyway, we're working on that, and phase one is about 80% complete, and that we're beginning to work on phase two. So that is good news. That means our electrical is getting upgraded. We are getting that upgraded so that then we can start. Because see, back when I tried to put a group together of local people that are appreciate entertainment with 4-H, things of that nature, pretty much like the old Fair and Racing Commission were. It was a board of people that kind of oversaw the fair and the horse racing and things of that nature. And so they disbanded. And so my goal is to get the fairgrounds back in good operating ability with upgraded electrical so that we can make improvements, so we can look down the road of what we want to do with that area to design a better recreational area. And so, Yeah, so I want to work on that, and I want to put together, I would like very much to eventually put together another overseeing group for recreation and what people would like to bring to the county, and have somebody on that board from entertainment, have somebody on that board from, you know, 4-H, have somebody on that board from the little racetrack down there where the kids race, and
right.
You know, just interested people from the community that we, you know, can all work together to kind of create a better recreational facility, because we're centrally located in the state, and everybody enjoys functions out there, and so hopefully we can get that done once we get our electrical upgraded.
I think that's great. Obviously, right now you got things like the gun shows or the gem and mineral shows, but it should be so much more.
Right. Yeah. I, you know, and we got and like February 8th, there's a sweetheart dance, and it's open to the public. February 12th.
February 8th. That happened already.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then February 12th, 4-H Community Club meeting.
Okay.
Open to 4-H members. February 15th and 16th, you've seen the advertisements,
yeah,
all
the gun
over.
Show next,
is the gun show. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, so we have activities in the building and stuff. But, I mean, that's such a big place. We're looking at trying to perhaps maybe obtain some more property south the fairgrounds. I believe south, yes. It's in a state trust. And so, you know, then you never know what can happen, and that could be, you know, used for, expanding activities at the fairgrounds. It could be used, you know, work with the City of Globe with their water and things of that nature for, you know, perhaps some living areas for affordable housing.
That'd be great.
You know, so yeah, there's a lot of things that can go, but you just, you know, it's just one bite at a time. And so, but anyway, we're working on it. Our ball field, we're getting ready to, the crew is getting ready to fertilize the ball field, and, you know, and so we'll also do some roof repairs on the dugouts and things, and get that ready for, you know, our youth in the baseball coming up here before too long.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, just, it seems like a lot of moving parts, and
yes.
we're just going a little bit at a time. And like I say, I'm not in the office a whole lot, but I do carry my cell phone, and my office phone rings my cell phone, and you can leave a message. So
that cell number is?
My cell phone number is 928-961-2885.
961-2885.
Yes,
right.
And I return all my calls. I don't, yes, answer all my calls, because, like I say, I'm in meetings,
yeah,
and things of that nature, but I return all my calls. Appreciate you calling in this evening.
Yeah, right.
Nice to hear from you. And
well, you know, like we often say, it's much like voting. If you don't vote, you can't complain. Well, in this case, you are actively pursuing more information about all of these projects. And when people don't respond, you're not a psychic. So
yeah.
Therefore, if their concerns aren't being met, they need to reach out. And they need to reach out before they're at the point where they're scraping themselves off the ceiling.
Yeah. Yeah, that helps when we can have a calm communication.
Right, right. Because,
yeah, yeah,
you know, if you wait to the point that, you know, you're ready to eat your neighbor,
yeah,
that's not the time to call.
Yeah, it'll probably take more than one call, because we're not going to get a lot accomplished.
That's right, that's right. Tim is a patient listener, but if you want anything to be accomplished, you're going to need to just calm down. And the easiest way to do that is to start before it escalates to that point.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, and it won't fall on deaf ears, and so if I don't know, I can't help.
Absolutely.
I can't help fix it, and if I can't fix it, at least I can let you know why I can't fix it, and we'll work on that reason, and then hopefully in the future we'll be able to fix it, because what we couldn't do before, maybe we'll be able to do in the future by changing ordinances.
That's exactly it. Yes, very good.
And so it sounds like I'm about ready to get the hook. I can hear the mayor in the background.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Our half hour is up, but always have time. Anytime there's something that we need to report, you know that. But otherwise, we will see you next month.
Okay, Raleigh, thank you very much, and everybody have a great evening.
All right, and this will replay on KJAA Sunday morning at 8 a.m., and it will also be listed on KQSS.net website.